All right. Hey, so real quick, when you think about God, right? When you think about him, what words come to mind? Let's just shout them out. What words come to mind? Love. That's awesome. What's another word that comes to mind? Grace. Yes. What words come to mind? When you think about God, what words come to mind? Hope. Holy. Merciful. Yes. What else? Legit. God is legit. Right? Strength. Right? What's the big theological word for that? All powerful? Omnipotent or something like that? Omnipotent. Right? What's another word that comes to mind when you think about God? Merciful. What's another one? What's that? A beast? Oh, I said, he's a beast. She said, no, peace, peace. He's a beast and he got peace. All right. What's another thing, right? What's another thing? We think about God, what words come to mind? Someone over here. Gracious. What else? Comfort. What else? What over here? What? When God comes to mind, because it's on the screen. When you think about God, God comes to mind. Captain Obvious. All right. All right, in the back. When you think about God, what words come to mind? Faith. What's another one? Magnificent. Creator. Wow. That's awesome. Joyful. This is crazy. One guy put it this way. He said, man, the most important thought you have is when you think about God. Like, that's the most important thought, that concept. I love how one of the twins said it this morning. I don't know which one. It was Matt, man. One of them. One of the half those Betsy guys. They said, we're all theologians. We all have a concept of who we believe God is. And that's a huge thought because that's going to govern. That's going to show us. That's going to help us make our choices, what we say, what we do, what we don't say, what we don't do. You know what's crazy? I've been traveling, and I love what I get to do. I get to travel all over the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what word has never came up? Not even once, including tonight? Fun. Never. I know. I'm not saying you failed because you said love and merciful. Right? No, right? And that's the cool thing about God. I know you might have some best friends, right? I know you might have some people you really adore, but I don't think their list is that long. Right? They may have a couple of good character traits and personality traits, but God, we can go on and on, on and on. But you know what's crazy? I have never, in all the years that I've been teaching and preaching, heard someone say, fun. Never. And you know what? And tonight, I really want to speak to the students, really want to speak to the young people, okay? How can I tell you to be rooted in Christ, to have a relationship with him, to be fixed on him, be devoted to him, when you don't feel like you can have fun with God? If you separate God and fun, you will never want him. But do you know you can actually enjoy this relationship with him and have fun at the same time? I've never heard someone say fun. But it's crazy. When you think about it, young people, when you think about students, when you think about your relationships and those who you call your best friends, or sometimes you even have friends in your life, they're almost closer to you than family, aren't they? Right? Sometimes it's like that. Even I love coming to Amaya Christian Center, not just because of the church and the people, but specifically the Leandres, that family. We're like family. We're like family. They're there in no blood, but it's by Christ. And guess what? We have a lot of fun. Have tons of fun. So when it comes to being rooted in Christ, wanting to follow him, giving your heart, soul, mind, and strength, putting your faith in him, believing the gospel, I think one thing we fail to mention is, guess what? You can have fun doing that. Because sometimes, even in my life, don't we separate God and fun? Sometimes we think this, either I'm going to have fun tonight or follow Jesus. Right? Right? Either I'm going to have fun or I'm going to do what Jesus tells me to. What if I told you you don't have to separate the two? What if I told you that if you really want to enjoy life to the fullest, following Jesus is your best option? Being rooted in Christ is your best option. And so tonight, it's crazy because God's like, Tim, a lot of people think, oh, you're going to have fun and then you're going to do spiritual stuff. It's all together. When we're doing the one arm, two arm, no arm game, you think God was just like, okay, when are we going to get to the preaching of the word, brother? No. He's like, look at my sons and daughters enjoying themselves, having fun, because we're his sons and daughters, right? And he wants to be personal with you. So tonight, I was just like, God, what's one way we could do that? He was like, well, Tim, have fun with them. I was like, okay, I guess. So I went to the ATM and got some money out, and I want to do a game that someone's going to walk away with, you know, $80. Anyone want $80? I don't know about you, man. I would be like, yes. I mean, we're going to have some fun, right? He wants us to continue to have fun. And so, you know what? Growing up, and I love this, the Bible, I love it. We said this last night. We said in Psalms that in God's presence, there's fullness of what? Boringness. Right? In God's presence, there's fullness of what? Seriousness. Right? No, in God's presence, there's fullness of what? Joy. Joy, true joy. At his right hands are what? Pleasures. At his right hands is commandments. No. At his right hand is pleasure forevermore. Listen, the reason why we want you to read your Bible, the reason why we want you to follow him is it will get to the point where the Bible and prayer, which we're going to talk about tonight, won't become duty. You'll actually enjoy it. Come on, let's just be honest, right? How many students, let's just be real. Do you call your friends girls? Do you call your girl? Do, 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 do. That's a long number. I don't know. I can do seven. Do, 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 do. All right. So you come and you pick up the phone like, hello? Hey, girl. What's up? O-M to the goodness. I'm having so much fun. What are you doing? I am praying right now. You want to come over? Do you really want to come over? What? We're going to read our Bibles. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. None of you do that. Right? It'd be kind of weird. I get that. But the crazy thing is, I think it's weird that we don't do that. I think it's weird that we don't call our friends who we're having fun with saying, oh my goodness, dude, so I just read something in the scriptures that blew my mind. Man, I just had a prayer time with God, and I know he listened to me. Man, God has answered my prayer this week, and it's so much fun. I've never met someone who said, hey, Tim, how's it going? Man, God, man, he's just been answering my prayers, man. Life is so boring. Yeah, man, my mom, she didn't know Jesus, and she believed the gospel. Whoop-dee-doo. Yeah, man, she's going to, yeah, it's great. No. When you're a follower of Jesus, do you know the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit you cannot get from the world? It's crazy fun. It's crazy fun. To be rooted in Christ, is it serious? Yes, but it's seriously fun as well. You know why it's fun? If God is for me, what does the Bible say? Who can be against me? Know why it's fun? As we sing, Christ is my righteousness. We talked about justification, that at this very moment, I am perfect and blameless before God, not because of how well I did today. You know how great that is? You know how much fun that is? You know how much fun it is? We talked about adoption last night, to know that I am a child of God. That's fun. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, especially when kids really liked their fathers, really liked their parents, they used to brag on them all the time. Right? And I didn't have my dad around, so I didn't have a guy to brag about. But I remember these two guys like, my dad's cooler than your dad, and they would go to it. Well, your dad doesn't even have a job. Well, he plays video games with me, so he's better, you know? And they would just have competitions about whose dad is better than the other dad. And the crazy thing about it is when it comes to evangelism, as we talked about being rooted in God's mission, it simply boils down to you loving your father so much you want to brag about him. Like, you can't even hold it in. And it's fun. When I met my wife, are you kidding me? You think I would just went around like, yeah, man, I found this girl. She loves Jesus and she's hot. Whoop-dee-doo. I don't know what to do. I think she's the one. Whew, my life is over. It's over. Yeah. Yeah, they say till death do you part. Yeah, it's a life sentence. It really is. It really is. No. Man, when I got engaged, I told everybody. Seriously. A random person at like a grocery store. I'm getting married, bro. You want to come? We didn't have wedding invitations. We had flyers. Seriously. We had over 500 people at our wedding. It was nuts. It was just like, you want to come? You want to come? You want to come? I want everyone to be a part of my... You know what? God wants to enter into your joy. And God is actually after your joy. He wants, you want to be rooted in Christ, you won't be rooted in him until you delight in him. You won't. And so tonight I was like, you know what, let's just have some fun. And I was like, you know what, let's just give away some money, let's have some fun. So I don't know about you, but the Bible actually commands us to actually enjoy him, to have fun, which is crazy. Here we go. The crazy thing about all this is this. This is why I did all that. Some of you would believe that during worship, or while we're reading the word, or as we were talking about mission and presence and the adoption, your justification, that God was being glorified in that. And if you think that, you are absolutely right. But the problem is, some of you believe, as we were just laughing, joking, and as I was ripping my pants, that God wasn't glorified in that. That he didn't find joy in that. Let me tell you, the God of the universe sovereignly allowed me to rip my pants, and he is laughing right now. Right? He is in heaven saying, wow, you know why? Because he finds joy in our joy. Who you think created laughter? Satan? Come on. How many of you guys, have you been with your friends and you're talking to him or her and you laugh so much like your stomach starts to hurt? Or you start to cry? You're just like, right? Do you honestly think God is in heaven like this? Thou shalt not laugh like that. No. No. You can laugh. You can have a good time. Guess what? This band, and I know they don't do it for glory, stuff like that, but Oceans and Vessels, this is an awesome band. Can I be honest with you? They are enjoying it. They are having fun. When they get together, they're just loving it, right? And you see Matt, is that my phone going off? Turn my phone off. And you see Matt and them like on the keys, and I look, you think, come on, you think he's not having fun? Have y'all seen him play? He's like, I love that. You think he's just up here? Love Jesus. No, he's up here just like, this is good, and he's preaching from here. How many of you guys know who can preach, hold a Bible, play the keys, and preach and sing at the same time? He can. Ask him if he's having fun as he's worshiping God. Yes. My dude on the drums, beast mode. Are you kidding me? He's so good, he almost distracts me from worshiping Jesus sometimes. He's like, he's just up there like, you think he's just like this? Man, I wish I was somewhere else. No. When they're up there, they're having fun and worshiping God at the same time. Students, I wish someone would have told me at 14, 13, 15, 16, 17, even in my 20s, hey, Tim, you know what? If you follow Jesus, you will enjoy it. Will it be hard sometimes? Yes. Will there be sacrifices? We talked about that. It's actually investments, because we always get more out of what we give to the Lord. Because even if we give him our life, he already paid for that with his. But is it fun? Yes, it is. You have to learn how to have fun in him. If you want to be rooted in Christ, you got to understand that he wants us to be rooted to him, because he knows that he can satisfy us more than anyone or anything else. That's why idolatry sucks. Because you're giving your heart to something that will never satisfy. He didn't just say, oh, only worship me. You know why? Because I want more followers. Don't worship that. No, he's saying, worship me because I am all satisfying. So when you give your heart to something else, when something else becomes your good news and your gospel, and you live for someone or something else, you're missing out on the greatest person in the world. So the best news he can tell us is, serve me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm the only one who will satisfy. I'm more than what you've ever hoped for or dreamed for. But tonight, this is a crazy thing. I want us to see that we don't have to separate God and fun. Think about the miracles that Jesus did. We talked about him turning water into wine. What's some other things that he did? What else did Jesus do? What's some miracles? He walked on water. Pretty impressive, especially to a black guy who can't swim. That's me. Right? What else did he do? Huh? He made the blind see. What else did he do? The dead live. That's pretty impressive, right? He wrecked funerals, right? Everyone's crying. He's like, nah, he's just sleeping, right? Are you kidding me? Can you imagine being around that? You think people was attracted to Jesus because he was boring? No, people said, look at what he's doing. You got to be a part of that. But you know what's crazy about this? You're talking about being rooted in Christ. This is what I really want you to get tonight. The disciples saw Jesus do all these different miracles. And even in the Gospel of John, it says something miraculous. It says everything that Jesus did isn't even recorded. There's so much more that he did that we don't even see. Is the Bible complete? Yes. But does it tell all that Jesus did? No. You can use your wildest imagination, and Jesus did more than that. And the disciples saw all that. But you know what? They wanted to follow God. They wanted to know what it is to be rooted in the Father. And so you know what? They never asked Jesus, Jesus, how do you walk on water? We don't see them ask him that. We don't see the disciples say, Jesus, teach me how to heal. Teach me how to do these things. You know what we do see the disciples ask Jesus? What did they say? Jesus, teach us how to what? How to pray. And tonight, for the next just 15 to 20 minutes, if you really want to be rooted in Christ, we have to teach you about prayer. We do. We have to. That's what the disciples asked him for. And as his disciples, as his followers, hopefully he would teach us how to pray. I love this quote by this guy named Paul Miller. He says this. He says, many people fail to pray properly because they are pursuing prayer rather than God. Right? Some of us, we fail to actually pray, to be real with our prayers, because we're actually pursuing prayer than God. Meaning this, how many guys, since we're only, what, in February, and the New Year's came, you said, man, I want to pray more. Question, how's that going for you? All right? God doesn't necessarily want us to pray more, and we're going to look at this. He wants us to love him more, which in return, we'll talk to him more. We'll talk to him more. We'll be rooted in him. You see, maybe you don't like to pray because you're putting prayer at a place where it was never intended to be. Students and even adults, I hear people say, Tim, I know I should pray, but I don't like to. And you're being honest, and that's true. You know what's crazy? The Bible never commanded you to like prayer. The Bible commanded you to love God. And once you begin to love him and get to know him, guess what will happen naturally? You'll want to talk to him. Do we still have to be disciplined about it? Yeah. But man, sometimes desire will outweigh that discipline. You just want to talk to him. You see, I want you to love God more, not just to pray more. I want you to grow in God's love for you, the gospel we've been talking about, and your love to God, devotion. And then you will begin to pray. But the question is, how do we do this? How do we get to the point where prayer doesn't just something I should do? That's what good Christians do, but prayer becomes something you want to do. Prayer becomes that thing that you call your girlfriend for, or your boyfriend for, or your friends, and go, hey, guess what, man? We're going to have a group of students together at our house, and we're going to have a prayer meeting, and we want you to be there. I'm like, what? Why would you go do that? You're just talking to the creator of the universe. I think that's a cool idea. I want to be rooted in Christ. Listen, it would be horrible for us not to tell you, like, to be rooted in Christ. We got the word down. We got his mission down. We got his presence down. We got the gospel down. And now prayer. So how can we get to a point where prayer becomes powerful and not boring and not just something I feel like I got to do? Well, first thing is this. We have to be real. You got to be real. All right? You got to be honest. Hey, guys, I guarantee you this. The relationships that you have that are really, really close students, those friends you really talk to, are those that you feel like you could be honest with. Am I right? And some of us, you're not, when you're praying, you're not really praying for real. You're telling God what you think he wants to hear instead of what's really on your heart. But the crazy thing is, guess what he really wants to hear? What's on your heart? How you doing? How you feel? I love this. Paul Miller says this. He says, in bringing your real self to Jesus, you give him the opportunity to work on the real you. Some of you are like, Tim, prayer doesn't work. I've tried it. You haven't began to pray yet, right? Come on, students, what we do, even during grace, we just fly by that. Jesus, thank you for this food, and Jesus, amen, let's eat. Right, you just say, why even do that? Imagine my wife said, hey, Tim, how your day went? Amen. And we do that to God all the time, right? But when you pray, you know when prayer starts to work, when you're really going to be rooted in Christ, having that relationship with him, is when you start being really, honest, just being real with him in prayer. You got to be real. If we really want our prayers to be answered, I first believe we have to be real with ourselves and real with God. And I'm going to give you two ways to be real with him tonight. Real simple, real practical. So you can apply all these things that all the teachers in the band has taught you and poured into you this week. The number one way to be real with God is this. Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So this is the thing. First thing you got to do, you got to come messy. When you go to God in prayer, sometimes it's going to be messy. What do I mean to that? When you pray, Jesus, because of the gospel, right, Jesus invites us to come overwhelmed with life. Students, we're being real practical, so I want you to grab onto this Jesus we're talking about. The friends that you have that you're close with, right, that you just love, sometimes even more than family, are those that you can be honest with, and not just with the good times, but even the bad times. Don't you call your friend when you're going through a hard time? Like, man, I had the worst day. Can I talk to you about it? And just to know that he or she's on the other end just listening to you. That's real, right? So when we pray, guess what, students? You can come to God with all your drama. You can come to him in prayer with all your doubts, with all your fears, with all your worries, with all your issues, even with a wandering mind. You can still go to him. He won't reject you. We talked about that. You can also go to him about the good things as well in life. I mean, think about it. The friends that you have and that you love are those that you tell freely what's going on with you. And some of you go to God like, God, thank you for today. I'm not saying this is bad, but you gotta get real. God, thank you for today. Thank you, I got to go to Winterfest. And let me get some good sleep. And that's it. Some of you know, I call it like the death prayer. The death prayer. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, take my soul, Lord. You know? That's kind of scary. Right? Because you just don't know, and that's okay. Do you know if you just be real with him, like you just tell him what's going on? Just how your day went? The good, the bad, the ugly? He wants to hear those things. Think about it. Now, this is the crazy thing, right? How many of you guys, and by a show of hands, you begin to pray, and this what kind of makes prayer hard. You begin to pray, and then your mind begins to wander. Does that happen to any of you? Right? You begin to pray, and you're like, man, what's coming on TV tonight? You begin to pray like, oh, my show's about to come on, right? Or you begin to pray and like, adults, not just students, we do this. You think about the to-do list we have to do that we didn't get done, or what we got to get going on at work, or that email you forgot to respond to. Your mind just begins to wander. You're like, man, how come every time I pray, I get distracted? And you know what's crazy? And this is what we do, right? Whether it's school on our mind, a relationship, a family member, Netflix, whatever it is that's on your mind, sometimes this is what we do. We try to get prayer right. And what I mean by that is this. We try, right, then to stop praying. We got to get prayer right. So we stop praying, and we ask God to help us focus. Say, God, help me focus on those things. But I love this, right? Don't try to get prayer right. Just tell God where you are and what's on your mind. Watch this. Guys, listen to this. What we do is this. We fail to realize that God actually wants to be involved in those things that's distracting us. Tim, let me make sense of this. When you're praying to God, right, like you want to try to get prayer right, but I'm telling you, you got to be real, you got to come messy sometimes. And this is what happens. You go to God in prayer, and then one of your friends just pop up in your mind, like from school. And you go, oh gosh, I'm distracted. I'm sorry, God. I'm not supposed to be thinking about him. I'm not supposed to be thinking about her. You know what God might be saying? No, pray about that. Pray for him. Pray for her. God wants to be involved with your life. What happens is you say, man, I'm trying to pray, but life gets in the way. He's like, how come you're not praying about your life? What else are you praying about? You're like, God doesn't want to hear about my to-do list. Yeah, he does. God doesn't want to hear about how I got to get all the groceries done and fold my laundry. I think he does. You know why? You're not going to be rooted in Christ and trust Jesus for the big things in life if you don't even pray about the little things first. Some of you students, some of us adults, you just got to begin to pray about the little things. So those might be distractions, you think, but that could be the Holy Spirit saying, hey, pray about this. Pray about this. You don't have to go to God with a list all the time. So sometimes I'm like schizophrenic in my prayers. It's true. Read Psalms. David was too. Right? God, I love you. You are awesome. God, why have you forsaken me? Right? It's just like all over the place. Sometimes in my prayers, I'm like, God, thank you for my wife and my daughter. I prayed that my daughter would get saved. And then it switches to, man, I was horrible on Xbox Live tonight. But thank you that Pastor Dave encouraged me because we play on Xbox together. We do. Right? Like, I talked to him about everything. Right? I don't have to stop praying because things are distracting me. I actually pray about those things. Some of you need to do that. Need to try it. It'll actually work. It's pretty cool to think that God really wants to think about those things and cares about those things. Once again, don't try to get prayer right. Just tell God where you are and what's on your mind. I love this. The very things we try to get rid of, whether it's our weariness, our distractions, our missiness, are the things that brought us to Jesus in the first place, wasn't it? How does the gospel start? Does the gospel start like this? You were all together, perfectly perfect. You had your priorities in line. You had your dreams and goals, and you were pursuing them in a righteous way. And God just said, wow, look at you. I must save that. No. The gospel starts off like this. You were a mess. You were jacked up. But I loved you. In spite of you, I still loved you. And some of us, we got to remember the gospel when we pray. We think, I can't come to God because I'm messed up. He says, that's exactly how I found you. Now that I saved you, you think I don't want to talk to you now that you're messed up? No, you're my son and daughter. Come to me messy. Some of you, you were hearing, I'm telling you, you heard some good teaching this morning, this afternoon for those who are here, and last night, and it made you feel really, really bad where you are and where you stand with God. You say, man, he doesn't want to hear from me. No, that was the grace of God speaking to your life and convicting you because he loves you. And now you can talk to him about those things. Got to be real with them. Sometimes we say this. We say, oh, man, I'm getting distracted. So it's lack of focus, man. God doesn't want me to talk to him because he deserves my full attention, and so I'm just not going to talk to him because he never has it. How often would you talk to your friend if he or she only had your full attention? Would you talk to that person much?
Nope.
You think my wife has my full attention? Baby, I love you, but you don't all the time. All right? Sometimes my wife's talking to me, I'm like, man, I'm hungry. Sometimes I don't even talk to my wife. I'm thinking about other things. And some of us, we use that as an excuse not to go to God. But listen, you can't use that excuse because you don't do that with anyone else. Be honest with them. Go to God in prayer and go, God, like, I know I'm supposed to pray to you right now. And I'm just distracted by this. I'm distracted by this test. Man, I got this huge test going on tomorrow. I didn't study for it. Would you help me? I know you're not going to zap me with the information, but still, could you just help me? I know, it's just crazy. And some of you don't think that's holy prayers. And that's why you're not rooted in Christ, because you don't trust him for the things that's going on in your life. You got to be real. Let's be real. Once again, I love this quote. It says, in bringing your real self to Jesus, you give him the opportunity to work on the real you. You have to come messy. What's another thing about being rooted in Christ through prayer? Well, when Jesus was teaching disciples how to pray, different things, he says, God is our Father. So not only do we have to come messy, number one, number two, to be real in our prayers, we have to come as a child. We have to come as a child. Let's think about it. Let's do this quick test. What do little kids ask for? Ice cream, candy, right? Honestly, if we had to come with one word that kind of sums up all their requests, what do kids ask for? Attention. How about this? Everything. Anything. Don't little kids ask for anything? Hey, mom, dad, what? Take me to Disney. When? Now. They have no timeline. They just ask for everything. They ask for anything. They're just bold. Give me this. Give me this. Give me that. Give me that. Question. How often do little kids ask? All the time. Sometimes you want to punch them in the face in Jesus' name, right? Be quiet, right? Don't punch him in the face. Lay hands, but they weren't talking about that, okay? Kids, listen, when you're praying to the Father, right? We're not just praying to this cosmic being who's distant. He's adopted us through the gospel of Christ. We've been justified. We've been adopted. We've been redeemed. We've been reconciled. We are a new creation, right? We've been set free. We're no longer slaves to sins, but we're sons and daughters of righteousness. So when I pray and I want to be real with him, I go to him as a child. Little kid. I just ask for anything. Now, come on, I'm not one of those guys like, okay, you name it, you claim it. No, we're not talking about that. I'm just real with my dad, though. From big things, from, God, would you really help this family? They're going through a hard time. Their mom and dad is going through a divorce, and would you be with that student? He's struggling with that. She's struggling with that. Would you help them? To something serious? To true story, you can ask my wife after service to this. One time, and I'm going to pray for you because y'all don't have Chick-fil-A here, and I'm sorry, okay? You need it. It's of Jesus. So anyway, one time, because down south we have them on every corner, just church, Chick-fil-A. It's awesome. One time, true story, I was driving, my wife was in the passenger seat. We're at Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And I finished my order. And then, have you ever seen someone get something like from the car ahead of you? Like, why didn't I think of that? This really did happen. You ask my wife. This guy was in front of us. He got his order. And then they handed out like an ice cream cone. And I was like, man, why didn't I get an ice cream cone? I want an ice cream cone. Just like a little kid. And I was like, man, I should have got that. And I was just thinking like, yo, God, man, hook me up. Since I was like, let me get that ice cream cone. You can ask my wife. We get to the counter, right? I mean, to the little window because we're in the drive-thru. They hand us our stuff. And then this kid, this teenager working there, said, by the way, we made an extra ice cream cone. Do you want one? I was like, Jesus! True story. You can ask my wife. I was like, are you serious? And my wife was like, how come that always happens to you? He loves me more. Right? She's like, how come that always happens to you? I was like, man, I should have asked for a Lamborghini or something, you know? I missed my moment. You know what's crazy? Whether it's me dealing with a student going through a hard time or a healing, or whether it's ice cream, if you want to be rooted in Christ, is when you trust him for both of those things. For all of it. He's concerned about all of it. Now, do I believe God just like me? But honestly, I'm like, you know what? I did ask, so good looking. Thanks. Thanks. Guess what? You know what? And that's so much fun. It's crazy. When I go through hard times in life, seriously, I mean legit hard times in life, I think about that story. I'm like, man, if you can give me ice cream, you can handle this situation. Wow, if you can handle sin, death, and hell, you can handle this situation. I talked to him about it all. If you want to be rooted in Christ, you got to come as a child to God in prayer. Just ask him for stuff. Ask him all the time. Some of you are like, man, I already asked God. Well, the thing about children is this. They're just real, aren't they? Sometimes kids are just too bold. Right? But they're hilarious. Seriously, a kid would just walk up to you and like, your breath stinks, and walk away. You're right. Sorry. You just got to be honest. Students, listen. Students, I want to talk to you like as a big brother, okay? Tonight we're going to give you an opportunity to pray. You just got to be real with them. Some of you, you got to be real, real, like super real. To be rooted in Christ, you're going to go to prayer, and this might be the first thing you said. Hey, Father, I really don't even believe you're listening right now, but I'm just going to go for it. And guess what? He's in heaven like, uh-oh, he's praying for real. She's praying for real. I'm about to blow their mind. He loves that when you're honest. He loves it. One time, to be real theological, right? You remember that story when Jesus was going out, and I think it's in John, and he approaches this guy, and they say, oh, yeah, man. Actually, his brother approached him. He's like, oh, yeah, did you hear Jesus, the Messiah? He's here, and he's coming out of Nazareth. He was like, yo, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Straight dissed his town, dissed his whole location. And when Jesus met that person, he was like, wow, this is a true guy. This is a man of great faith. You want to be rooted in Christ? Be real with him. Be honest with him. Some of you need to pray this tonight. You can say, God, I don't like you. I don't trust you. I don't even know if you're real, but I'm just going to go for it. You know what he's like? Oh, it's about to happen. He's not intimidated by your hard questions. And some of you students, you have some tough questions. And I'm telling you, to be rooted in Christ in prayer, come like a child and ask those tough questions. Come messy. Question, I want you to think about this before you answer. Does God answer every prayer? Think about it first. Does God answer every prayer? On a count of three, I just want you to shout your answer. I'm not going to hear which one you said. Ready? One, two, three. Yes. Okay. I heard yes. No, yeah, maybe. Yes, no. No, yes. Right? You know what's crazy? Being rooted in Christ through prayer, you can have the faith to believe, and I think I'm theologically correct by saying this, God answers every prayer. But sometimes it's not the answer you want. And some of us, we try to be like the prosperity gospel. It's either yes or not yet. No. Sometimes it's no.
All right?
He's a good dad. You're like, Dad, can I have, if my daughter, 3 years old, wants, hey, Dad, can I get a shotgun?
No. No.
We're down south. We're all about guns. You know what I'm saying? No. You can't have that. So the crazy thing is, listen, God answers every prayer, but some of you, you're like, God hasn't answered my prayer. And this is the thing. I'm telling you, maybe you haven't prayed yet. And the cool thing is, no matter how old or how young you are, you can start afresh tonight. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you an opportunity right where you are. And if I could have just come on up, play on the keys a little bit, just to be real with God and just pray to him. Just be honest with him. Some of you, you're taking notes. My wife, a lot of the prayers that she prays to God, she writes them out. She just writes them out. Prayer doesn't have to look like, you know, on your knees every time. I mean, if you have to be on your knees every time you pray for real, well, you can never pray and drive at the same time, right? If you always have to close your eyes, please don't close your eyes while you're driving and praying, okay? There's no formula to this thing, but there does require this: humility, honesty. If you want to be rooted in God through prayer, you just got to be honest with him. And some of you students, I love you so much. I'm so happy you're here. Just be honest with him. He's not intimidated. He's not intimidated. We're just going to have that just for like 2 minutes. And then we're going to wrap up our time together with me teaching you a way to pray. Not the way, but just a way that'll really help you out. And if you're here tonight and you've been here this weekend and maybe you've never really even talked to him before, you don't know what it means to be in a relationship with God, to follow him, man, your youth leader that's here and your parent maybe that's here, they've been praying for you, loving you, talk to them. Talk to her. Talk to him. Come find me. We have people here who love to pray with you and tell you how to respond to this great God. So right now, right where you are, if you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. You don't have to every time, but if you want to bow, you can. If you want to come forward, you can, but you don't have to. Just take the next 2 minutes and just be real with them. Just tell them what's going on. Tell them all the good stuff, the bad, the ugly. Just tell them how you're doing, what you've been thinking about. Right now, just talk to him. You might be saying, Tim, well, he already knows. He doesn't want to hear it. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Keep praying. Right now, you might be getting distracted with other things. Don't forget the message. Pray to him about that. Literally, just be real with him. You're like trying to pray serious. You're like, man, I'm hungry. Say, God, I'm hungry. Where should I get something to eat? God, thank you for providing for me. Thank you for blessing me. I haven't missed meals. There's a lot of people, even in our area, that won't eat tonight, God. Thank you that you allowed me to eat, and I pray that you'll bless that young guy, that young girl, with a meal. Some of you praying right now, keep praying. You're praying about some big things. I can see your face. You're just talking to him. Nothing's too big. Nothing too scary. I guarantee you that the God that we serve is bigger than the prayer that you're praying, and he wants to help. Some of you need to ask him for something big. And that just might mean help. Like, Tim, if you knew what's going on, I just need help. Say, Father, would you help me? Some of you, for the very first time, need to simply say this: save me. I don't even know what that means, but I know I need you. Would you save me? I want to follow you. I need some help, though. Would you save me? Thank you. you guys long, but I want to teach you this real quick if you look this way. One of the things my wife and I, when we went to marriage counseling, one of the things the counselor says, like, Tim, like, you got, if you want to grow in your relationship, you got to pray together. If I'm being real with you guys, my wife and I, we still slip on that. I know she prays for me and I pray for her, but sometimes we don't pray together. I'm trying to work on that as a family. But one thing he did to help me, he showed us a way to pray. Not the way, just a way that really helped us. Sometimes it's intimidating praying with someone else. And he said, Tim, he said, you know how kids pray? They thank God for everything, right? God, I thank you for my dad. I thank you for my mom, my cat, my fish. My cat ate my fish. I thank you for that. They just have a long list, right? They're just thankful. And sometimes we miss that. Well, it's something called popcorn prayer, because just boom, 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 pop, pop, pop. And you're just thanking God for things. And then you ask your partner, like, hey, what can I pray for you about? Now, this is when we go wrong as Christians. We give them a long story. Well, when I was born in 86. No, don't give us a long story. Tell them one thing you need prayer for. Real quick. And then this is where we get wrong sometimes. Then the other person starts praying. They pray for everything. And they go on. You know who you are. You go on and on. Right? You just like, finish up, finish up. Right? No, guess what? That person, they're gonna tell you, because they love you, that one thing they need prayer for, and I just want you to pray for that one thing real quick. We didn't even practice this. I'm teaching them this. This is the first time hearing this right now. We're going to practice this in front of you, and then I'm going to give you the opportunity with two or three people right where you are to do this, to try this out. It's called popcorn prayer. It's real easy. So I start by thanking God for one thing, and then he goes and for one thing, and I thank him for one thing, and he thinks, boom, boom, boom. All right, watch this. We're going to pray for real. Ready? Father, I thank you so much for allowing me to come here to Winterfest this year.
God, I thank you for my family.
God, I thank you just for being real and listening to me right now.
God, I thank you for loving me when I couldn't love myself.
And so then I go like this. I say, hey, Dave, what's one thing I can pray for you about?
Just one.
Sorry.
Just that I would lead well.
And let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you so much for your son, Dave, who you love dearly. He wants to lead and love your people well. We ask that you will help him and that you will equip him. In Jesus' name, amen. And then he returns the favor.
What can I pray for you for?
I literally need new jeans. I was going to wear those tomorrow. I'm serious. I'm thinking about my outfits. I'm being real. Like, I wore that. Oh, I need some jeans. So I seriously pray that between now and tomorrow morning, when I'm preaching here at your church, that I'll have a good outfit. I'm not lying.
Lord, please help Tim not preach in my sweatpants tomorrow morning. But God, I thank you that you supply all things graciously and amazing ways. And I thank you that even by tomorrow morning, that you'll supply even that smallest thing. Because if you can get him an ice cream cone, you can get him a pair of jeans. I believe that. We believe that. And we thank you in advance for it.
Easy. Right? Easy. Both God wants to answer. So right now, right where you are, this is how we're going to end. Find two or three people and just do that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then you pray for that person, and then that person prays for you. Real quick. Ready? Go for it right where you are.